Well, it's great to be here. I bring you greetings from my wife, and I thank you as a local community of believers for your support, prayerfully and financially. You've been very faithful to us over the years. Matter of fact, this is one of the first places I ever preached in. Yep. I was 18 years old. That was a long time ago. I sat right down there. It was different here. But I remember sitting there and I had the message. I got up. I spoke for 6 minutes. And that's all I had to say. And fortunately, Peter Fox backed me up. But that was my first experience. One of my first experiences preaching was here at Westminster Gospel Chapel. And you've supported me ever since that in so many different ways. But it's great to be here. It's great to be part of your Advent service, the third Advent, joy. Well, the first one you talked about hope, and in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, it says, we have an inheritance reserved in heaven, a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And 2 weeks ago, it was the first candle, and last week it was peace. We will love life and get great days, it says in the Word of God, if we turn from evil and do good, and if we seek peace, for the Lord watches over the righteous and hears their prayers. Yes, we can have the peace of God and peace with God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, as we sang, we're going to be talking about joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Fantastic. Cry out with joy and gladness. And we're going to have a wonderful time seeing what God has for us in the Word of God. And as it says in your bulletin, purpose and joy at Christmas time. Purpose and joy. If you would turn with me, please, in the Bibles to Luke chapter 24. It's up on the screen, but I encourage you to look in the Word of God. I believe this is only for our visitors, and if you happen to forget your Bible this morning, which happens, you can look up here, but I encourage you to look in your Bibles. I'm reading from the New International, but follow along in whatever version you have so you get used to using your Bibles, okay? So we're looking at the verses in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 18, and I'm going to try to read them. I have a terrible time reading in English, French, Spanish, and so on. But anyway, I will try to read it. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Verse 9, chapter 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of Bethlehem, a son has been born, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger. Verse 13, suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the good news concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Verse 44. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. This is the Lord speaking. This is at the end. He's ready to ascend into heaven. He's ready to go back to his Father. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in His name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city while you have been clothed with power, until you have been clothed with power from on high. And when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they continued in the temple praising God. What a beautiful scripture. What a beautiful scripture. You know, we are very sports oriented. I don't know who won last night. Who won last night? The other one? Boston? We won! Woo! Good! That's great! We can celebrate because we are sports-minded all over the world. Brazil, Argentina, it's soccer here, it's right now, it's ice hockey, and we all get excited. And it's a big thing. And it's not just football or baseball, it's basketball and volleyball. And we all get excited. And we feel part of it. And we listen to it on television, and watch it on television, and we get all excited. And you know, especially if we win, of course, we're always happier than usual. And there's a sense of joy there, because we are sort of have a purpose. We're part of the Canucks. We're part of the BC Lions. We're part of the team. And there's a purpose, there's a goal, there's a reason for being. But, unfortunately, not just when we lose, but when, you know, hockey season is over, we're down. Oh, no more hockey. Remember when they were sort of on strike and we were all sort of discouraged? And it's not just if you lose, but it's your purpose is gone. You don't have a reason. You don't get together with your buddies and have a Diet Coke or a Pepsi and some potato chips and watch the game together. It's done with. It's over. No purpose. No drive. But you know, we look for other things to give us purpose in life. For instance, home improvements. We get into the projects. We get into sort of a reason and we want to fix up our bathroom. So we remodel our bathroom. And when that project is over, we have no purpose. There's no joy. Well, let's go and do our kitchen. So we remodel our kitchen and you know, it's only a temporary thing. Sports is only a temporary thing. Remodeling is only a temporary thing. And then sometimes we get into hobbies, of course. And we get all enthusiastic about our hobbies and we get doing this, that, and the other thing. But you know, when we finish with that hobby, we're sort of down. Well, what I would like to look at this morning is something that's going to give you joy for life. Real joy, wonderful joy, something real, something honest, something that you will never forget. And if you want this joy, we're going to see it in the Word of God this morning. You know, and I'm a photographer, so I would like you to look at the pictures. And I apologize if I offend any of you, because we don't really know what Christ looked like, but this is only graphics, and this is only what it could have been like. But here we have the shepherds on the field, and they get that wonderful visit, and we're going to see that you can have permanent, you know, permanent. That's not a word even really in our vocabulary, because nothing is permanent. When I was a printer, we did, you know, a cut and paste. Well, we do cut and paste today, but you only do it with a finger. You don't do it with an X-Acto knife. Everything changes. But I'm going to tell you something right now, that you can have joy forever and ever and ever, and it'll never change. It'll be permanent. And that's what the joy is that the shepherds got. That's what the joy the disciples got. And it's going to be wonderful. And if you look at this picture, here's Christ talking to his disciples. And we find his disciples in Luke chapter 24, and it was just about 5.5 weeks after his resurrection from the dead, and Jesus gathered with his followers on the Mount of Olives, and it was very close to where he had been prayed with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it wasn't very far from the Mount of Gethsemane Mountain of the Skull where he was crucified, and here he is talking to him, like I'm just chatting with you now. And he's sitting there and he's talking to them and he's trying to encourage them because, you know, still they don't understand. And if you look at this picture, I want you to look at the pictures of the faces of these dear people. They were perplexed. They thought Jesus was going to come back and he was going to wipe out the Romans and he was going to build up his own kingdom and the Jewish people would reign over Jerusalem once again and out with the Romans. That's what they were looking about. Look at Peter, big Peter in the back there with a mustache, with a barb, with a beard. I mean, these guys, they don't understand yet. And they're discouraged because, see, their purpose, they had spent 3 years, and the purpose that they had for 3 years was to follow Jesus, to see how he acted, to see how Jesus reacted, and to see how that he did this, that, and the other thing. And they were following Jesus for 3 years, and they had a purpose, and they had joy, and they were having a great time with Jesus in spite of a pesar de the problems and the trials and the testings. But they were having a good time because they had purpose, and that was to follow Jesus and to learn from Jesus. But here Jesus talking to them, and they're saying, well, what is going on here? Well, let's look at it. Jesus tells them in verse 48 in Luke, you are witnesses of these things. The same thing is repeated in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the world. Dear brothers and sisters and friends, this morning, if you want to have joy, you've got to have the purpose. And the reason for the season, the reason that we are here on this earth is to witness. And we're going to see that from Scripture. There's what the disciples said. You are witnesses of these things, and we are to be witnesses in Jerusalem. And if that's your purpose in life, you're going to have joy, real joy. Our reason for being here on this planet is to witness about Jesus. Now, the shepherds, I don't know what their spiritual background was, but we're going to see, and I think it's right here, yes. So they hurried off and found this is the disciples, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were laying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word. Dear friends, they spread the word. And, you know, I don't know what their spiritual background was, but even as non-believers, they spread the word. I was in an ESL program just the other day, and I didn't use this message, but I had a different message. And I told those dear people, I said, they were from mainland China, from Hong Kong, from Taiwan. And I said, when you go back this Christmas time to your country, you tell them about Jesus, and then you're going to have joy. Real joy. The reason we are so unhappy, a lot of us as Christians, is because we're not testifying. We're not telling men and women and boys and girls about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so privileged here in beautiful British Columbia. We have everything. And God has allowed hundreds and thousands of immigrants to come here. I just wish I could speak Tagalog. Mabuti. Mabuti. I say Mabuti to them and they look at me and they start talking to me. That's all I know. Or I'll go up to somebody else and say, Ni hao, ni hao ma. And they'll look at me and they'll start talking to me. But I want to open up the doors. I'll say, bonjour, comment ça va? Oh, hola, que tal, como estás? We've got to find ways and means to witness to them. We've always got to have a tract in our pocket. We've always got to have a pamphlet in our pocket and say, God loves you. You know, I don't like Christmas in some senses. You know, I don't like this idea, you know, here comes Santa Claus, here comes, you know, they saw, I really don't like those things. But I love Christmas because it's a springboard to tell men and women, boys and girls about Jesus Christ. And you won't offend them. The Muslims, the Hindus, Hare Krishna, Buddhists, they all listen to you when you tell them what the reason for the season. And Jesus is the reason for the season. And that's the command from God. The shepherds went out and they spread the word. And that's what we are told to do over and over in Scripture. And that's what we are called to do as Christians. As Christians today, that should be your purpose. You should thank God for the Christmas trees and thank God for all the wonderful things around us and the candles and we can tell people about it. And if you want to experience this third candle of joy, then you have to have a purpose in your life. And that purpose is to witness for Jesus Christ. It is so true from Scripture. We read it over and over again. Through God's Word, we can celebrate Christmas, but we can celebrate it with a purpose, and that purpose is to tell men and women that Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and He was born in Bethlehem. And He lived here for 33 years. You can tell Him that. And you can tell Him that He died on the cross of Calvary. And He was buried, He rose from the dead, and He said He's coming back. You can tell people that. People are looking for esperanza, espoir, hope. People are looking for that. You have it. I have it. Let's not be egoistic. Let's get out there on the roads and our shopping centers and let's tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you'll have purpose. Yes, God has called us to witness for Him. That is our purpose in life, is to witness. To tell people. To tell them the Christmas story. You know, I don't like here come Peter, cottontail up. You know, I don't like it. But I thank God for Easter because we can tell people the real meaning for Easter. Halloween. People say to me, humbug. I turn my lights off, I put the shutters, and I sit. I put lights on. And every child, 87 of them this year, came to my house, got the Word of God. I don't like goblins. I don't like ghosts. But this is a thing that we can do as Christians, to use these pagan holidays, if you want to use that word, to witness for Jesus Christ. That should be your purpose, and that should be my purpose. And I trust it is. And if it isn't, if you want joy, if you want to experience real joy, witness for Jesus. God has put us on this planet to witness. That's why we're here. We are here to glorify God. What did Jesus do? Jesus says, I have come to do the will of my Father. He talked about His Father the whole time. And if we call ourselves Christians, we should be Christ-like. And we should do what He did. And He talked about His Father, so we should talk about His Father. We should talk about Jesus. Don't be chicken. Don't be a wishy-washy vegetable. It takes a fish to go against the stream. We've got to have guts. Excuse me for my ESL students here. We've got to have that encouragement. And we've got to go and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus left. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. He rose from the dead, but He's coming back. But in the meantime, He's asked you and I to tell people about Him. You know, He could call angels. He could send down 100,000 angels and He could evangelize the world in 2 seconds. But He has chosen you and I. We have the privilege. We have the privilege. Jesus performed many miracles. And when He went up to heaven, He told them that He's coming back. Let's look at the verses again. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in their manger. And when they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what had happened, what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it was amazed and what the shepherds said to them. People will be amazed if you go in there with courage. If you go in there with conviction, they spread the word. They were just shepherds. I'm not going to go into a shepherd, but you know, they didn't even have outhouses there. I mean, they were dirt. They were young fellas just looking after sheep, you know, all way out there on the hill and no commodities, nothing. They didn't go to Regent College. They didn't go to Columbia Bible College. They didn't have a degree in theology. They were shepherds, but they spread the word. They spread the word concerning what had been told them. Exciting, isn't it? And we have the same thing. And so what did those disciples do? We are told in verse 52 that they worshiped Christ on the mountain. And then they returned to Jerusalem filled with a sense of joy. They met with each other in the temple courts, praising God for the things they had heard and seen. That changed their lives. They were chickens. They were hiding in homes because Christ was crucified. Christ was buried and they were hidden in homes. They were afraid. They had no purpose. They had no joy. Jesus was gone. He was dead. But when He rose from the dead, He encouraged them, and we find that they're continue witnessing. Yes, Jesus is coming again. And I'm excited. Are you excited? Think about it. Before the disciples had this new purpose, this new project, this new reason for being, they were scared. But not now. Now, one other reason. Another reason, the Word of God says, we can have joy because Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. Do you realize that? And the Bible tells us, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Do you want that? You can have that if you have a Christ in your life. Jesus is that bread of life. And he wants to come into your heart, and he'll satisfy. He'll take every care from you. He'll help you, encourage you. Some of you people who don't know me, I had two fathers and four mothers and went to about 12 different schools and just a childhood unbelievable. They called me an idiot. They called me an imbecile. I wasn't adoptable, they said. But God can do anything in your life as he did in my life. And after visiting 71 countries and preaching and teaching, I was an imbecile according to the government of British Columbia. But God wants to use you, and he will satisfy you. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And never, never. Yes? I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Yes, Jesus is coming. And you can enjoy that. Yes, joy. You can have that joy. But you have to accept Jesus Christ. And you've got to do what he tells you to do. And that is to be a witness for him. Have you accepted Jesus Christ? Or is he still a little baby in a manger? I love that. But you know, he left that manger. And he walked and he got his sandals dirty. He went through all the trials and temptations that you and I have gone through. But he did not sin. And he died on the cross for your sins and my sins. And he wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your bread. He wants to be your joy. And he'll do that if you say, come into my life, Lord Jesus. I was 10 years old up at Amble Island Bible Camp. And I was sitting around a campfire. Skinny little run. Didn't know nothing about justification, glorification, sanctification. Didn't know if I was pre-mill, pre-trib, dispensation. I didn't know nada. Nothing. Rien. But I said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come in today. Come in this day. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And he did. And I've enjoyed him all of these years. And he's never, never let me down. Now you're going to say, well, Ron, you said he's coming back again. Yeah, sure. That nice fairy tale. Now listen, there are at least 333 prophecies of the first coming of Christ, and they were literally fulfilled. Now, I'd like to go through all 333, but I won't. I'll never get invited back again, probably. But that is true. And you know, and we're just going to share one or two of them, and it's so interesting to see them. First one, therefore the Lord himself will give a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. That was back in Isaiah 7:14, and it was accomplished in Bethlehem. Here's another one. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. These are prophecies. There's 333. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready for him? Are you looking for him? I am so excited that he's coming back. And you, Bethlehem, out of you will come for me one who will rule over the world. In closing, I would like to listen to a 3-minute musical rendering of one of my favorite songs. So if you'd like to close your eyes and just think about what these words say, and we'll try to get into the concept that Jesus is coming back. The king is coming. Does this give you goose pimples? It does me. And if it doesn't, I'd like to talk to you after this service. I'm in no hurry to go anywhere. I can stick around. You can buy me not a Tim Hortons, but a coffee. But I'd love to talk about the King is coming. Listen to this. He's coming for me. Is he coming for you? Are you ready? May, we're going to see Dale there. Kathy, we're going to see Dave there. We're going to see our loved ones there. I want to see you there. That's why I'm here. I'm not at home watching TV now because I want to see you in heaven with these two saints I just mentioned. And there's elders here and there's deacons. We would love to talk to you at this Christmas season. Because, you know, if you're not looking up, if you're not waiting for Jesus to come, if you're not expecting it, you can, and you're going to have that hope, and you will have a Merry Christmas. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, God Almighty, we thank you once again that Jesus came. We thank you for the 333 prophecies that were accomplished, proved he came. We thank you for his life here. We thank you for him dying on the cross for us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can have life in him and we can have joy, real joy and purpose in life if we accept Jesus. And if we are in your family, if we are part of the family of God and we haven't got that purpose of witnessing, telling men and women, boys and girls about Jesus Christ, we pray that we might get on board. We ask these things, giving you thanks in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.